This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Not a 5 hour KM to AM. Keith McPherson on The Fan for a quick 3 hour show. 3.5 hour show. Something like that. I don't know. A bridge show. A luge hour. For hours. Whatever you want to call it. Leading you into Rutgers basketball. Give Keith McPherson a call at 888-808-1019. We're going to talk sports. Spoiler alert. And gotcha again. You thought we were going to do something else. I don't know what these guys are doing in here. It smells like a locker room. There's Jeopardy, a whiteboard, L in a cell, Phil Simms, Boomer Esiason, My Meds Bible. There's crumbs all over the ground. Looks like Craig Carton was in here. Somebody was eating Cheetos. Usually we need that 30 minutes of loogie in here to let it air out. It's kind of musty in here. All right, anyway, 888-808-1019. You know, as I am on the internet and listening to the radio and watching TV and, you know, just being a sports fan like you are, taking everything in and listening to takes and manufactured takes and overreactions, I just realized we're in this little dead period. NFL's over, Super Bowl ends, we have the NHL break, the NBA break, and we have the beginning of baseball, like, you know, pitchers and catchers reporting, position players reporting, where we overanalyze everything, we overreact to everything, we're reaching for anything, and we have nothing better to do but fight with one another. No, I'm big brother. No, I'm little brother. No, you're a little brother. I'm a big brother. Like, you know, we're just passing time. And tonight, St. John's will play. Maybe that will distract you around 9 o'clock. Also, the Rutgers game will be on here. And then tomorrow, we'll get back to the NBA. Knicks fans, I'll tell you how there's no way you're going to win the NBA Finals this year unless all of the stars in the NBA somehow get hurt or the Monstars zap their powers. I'll turn my Knicks hater energy down. But, yeah, the second half or second, last third of the NBA season will start tomorrow. And we'll have some takes on the NBA. And we'll have the Four Nations confrontation days, Four Nations. We'll have the Four Nations face off. So we'll get back to having like actual sports and competition and things to go off. But for now, we're kind of just reaching, you know, we're over analyzing the quarterback situation in the NFL. Matthew Stafford is going to be a Ram. Who knows where Aaron Rodgers is going to be? Who knows where Cam Ward and Shador Sanders are going to go? But you know something that I came around to today, something that I do know today, and I better be right about this take, right? I saw a post on Sports Keta that the 2025 luxury tax for the Los Angeles Dodgers is currently over $142 million. The reigning champs, the 2024 World Series champions that defeated your New York Yankees and defeated your New York Mets on their way to doing that. The team that knocked off both New York teams in the last few weeks of October. They got better. They doubled down. They spent the most money this time last year, and it worked. So they went and did it again. And obviously they deferred a lot of money, but whatever, I don't care. They are laughing at the Cohen tax. They are laughing at the luxury tax because they have figured out the game in a way that nobody else has. They have their own TV channel. They're selling a ton of season tickets. My friends that are out in LA, again, I'm telling you, I've been to Dodger Stadium more than I've been to Citi Field. Like, people cannot wait to go see the Dodgers this year, right? Celebrate that World Series. Watch Ohtani pitch, watch Roky Suzuki pitch, Blake Snell pitch, Tanner Scott, Kirby Yates, Cete Oscar again, and Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman, Michael Conforto. They are lining up to see Michael Conforto as a Dodger. So they're handing them the money. And the Guggenheim partners, I've talked about a bunch, how they're all, you know, private equity firms and banks, and they're set up to do all of this. And they're looking to go back-to-back, and I don't want to see it happen. And the way that they showed no class in winning, really a series that, like, when you think about all of those games and the more time goes on, the Yankees could have been swept. But the run differential was nowhere near what it was with the Mets series. I mean, they beat the Mets by, like, 20 runs in the series, and they had games where they put 210 pieces on the Mets. They beat the Mets 8-0, 9-0. You know what I'm saying? The Yankees beat themselves. The Yankees had opportunity. The Yankees had an opportunity to force a game six. I don't have to rehash it to you, but what I'm saying is it was closer last year than I actually thought it was going to be. And the Yankees had Anthony Rizzo getting at bats, Alex Verdugo getting at bats. Those guys don't have a team right now. You understand what I'm saying? Like, the New York Yankees, and I hear fans call this station every day and say, the team is better. You've never heard me say that. I won't say that until, I don't know, June, when we've actually seen what this team looks like. The team is better. Despite losing Juan Soto, they pivoted. They made a bunch of moves. They improved the defense. They improved the rotation. They improved the bullpen. They did bring in a couple bats. The team is better. What I'm asking you tonight is, do you think Brian Cashman made all of these moves to still leave the team with multiple holes? 888-808-1019. Follow me. Like, he made a bunch of moves, yeah. Max Fried, Devin Williams, Cody Bellinger, Paul Goldschmidt, Jonathan Loaisiga's back, Fernando Cruz is here. But as we're in this first couple weeks of spring training, there are glaring issues, gaping holes in the team. Giancarlo Stanton, they have no idea. There's no timetable for when he's going to start baseball activities. They don't know. So your DH, who put the team on his back, who's your second best hitter, who's a former MVP, like, you don't know when he's going to start. And you've known about this longer than us as fans. We're overreacting to it now as fans because we just got wind of it this week. They knew. He said this was going on while he was finishing out the year last year. They knew through the offseason. They knew before he reported there. At the catcher position, Austin Wells was a rookie last year. They're slow playing him because of the workload that he had. Austin Wells is their only real catcher. And you know what? It's a lot of pressure on that kid to show up and do it every day. At least he had Trevi, a veteran who had his back, who he was platooning with for the most part until we got to the end of the season. Austin Wells just isn't ready yet. I saw Yankees catcher Austin Wells spent part of Tuesday in the batting cage taking swings. Yeah, but like, you, Austin Wells, your starting catcher, and I know, folks, we have over a month until opening day. But follow me. Like, Aaron Boone is going to get an extension before they fill the rest of the holes with this team. You guys know, like I know, it's a business. They want to sell tickets. They want opening day to be full. It's a 3:05 start this year. We're going to be out there from 8 a.m. on. The world will be watching. Joe Buck gets the call. It's going to be on ESPN, nationally televised. Hell, the Brewers should throw Nestor Cortez. It should be Nestor Cortez versus Gerrit Cole. The business of the New York Yankees is having stars and having players in that lineup that you pay to go see. And right now, they don't have a DH. We're actually flirting with the idea that DJ LeMahieu could be the DH. And I feel bad for DJ, honestly, at this point. He's talking about losing sleep over the fact that he's not someone the team can rely on. There are clips coming out from Randy Miller, from Chris Kirschner, these reporters. I haven't seen him hit one ball in the air, out of the ballpark. It's a lot of ground balls. I forget. I got to go to my notes. The kid that he was facing on the backfield today, he was struggling against. Randy Miller posted it. I'm like, there is no way. There is no actual way that you lose the World Series to the Dodgers, watch them go out and spend crazy money. Granted, it's deferred and they have a lot of signing bonus, whatever. You watch them ante up, stack the deck. Stanton is hurt. Your starting catcher is in his second year. He's hurt, or at least you're slow playing him. I don't know who the backup's going to be, from J.C. Ascara to Ben Rice, Alex Jackson, who they traded for from Cincinnati. Those guys are not real options. And then DJ LeMahieu, being worried about DJ LeMahieu at third base, we might actually have to DH him. 888-808-1019. Cabrera at third base and DJ DHing, that is no good. It's not good for the defending American League champions that got embarrassed, got mocked, the whole baseball world. I can't go on Twitter without somebody putting a GIF under any of my tweets of Aaron Judge dropping the pop-up in center. Like, if I am Brian Cashman, who two seasons ago fans were chanting Fire Cashman wearing Fire Cashman shirts, if I am Brian Cashman, who dodged a 16-year contract for $760 million to sign one player, if I'm Brian Cashman, I'm not making all of these moves this offseason to go into the season with holes in my lineup. 888-808-1019. I don't believe it. I came around today. There will be another move. There will be another bat added. It's obvious. They cannot sell us as fans on DJ LeMahieu. He was one of the worst hitters, if not the worst hitter, during the time that they forced him down our throats last year. We were able to get by last year because they had Soto and Judge. As Luis Severino said, you only have two good hitters. Well, you don't have Soto. So again, I say, after losing to the Dodgers, getting mocked, watching the Dodgers push their chips all the way in, watching Juan Soto depart for your crosstown rivals, are you really going to sell this hurting fan base who had to watch that fifth inning, watch this generational talent say he feels like he's got a better chance to win across town? Are you really about to put Oswaldo Cabrera at third base and DJ as the DH, and then Austin Wells could be one false move away from I don't know who being the backup catcher? Today we learned that Clark Schmidt has a barking back, a cranky back. What does that mean? I said cranky back. My son wakes up cranky. That's the only time I use that word. You're cranky. You need some food. My son will wake up from a nap, and if he sleeps for 2 hours, he wakes up cranky like I starved him for 2 hours. He looks at me like, hey, how come you weren't feeding me in my sleep? He's cranky. Well, Clark Schmidt is dealing with a cranky back. Call it what you want to call it. Clark Schmidt is in the starting rotation. He's being relied on. There are many people that say the Yankees have one of the best rotations in baseball. That would include him. His good buddy Marcus Stroman is up. Would you look at that? We made a big fuss last week about Marcus Stroman not being in camp because we had nothing. We had nothing to talk about. Itching for baseball. A lot of people hate Marcus Stroman. Shout out to him. He's modeling for Rihanna. He's doing Fenty ads on his Instagram. He's an ambassador. He's now your starting pitcher for the first game. And, you know, that's going to be great to see. Marcus Stroman will start the Yankees spring opener on Friday versus the Rays. And the Rays made out this year, sharing that. George M. Steinbrenner revamped facility. They have a way better setup than they had at Tropicana. But let's go, Marcus Stroman. Many of you are saying it's a showcase. We've watched Marcus Stroman pitch for 10 years. Granted, we didn't see him at the end of the year. Maybe it's a showcase. I don't know what, you know, really, like, he's not a young guy showcase. I don't know. I don't think it's a showcase. I think, if anything, they're just showing him kind of a little bit of support, a little bit of love. Hey, you're here. Like I said, Clark is his boy. Maybe, you know, they saw enough from Clark. They're shutting Clark down. Just for a little bit. It's early. We got a month. Chase Hampton has a flexor strain. That's not great. You know, coming into this, I said one of the things I was most excited about with the Yankees was their pitching depth. They have a bunch of guys that we're going to see in spring training. Guys start to drop. They start throwing their bullpens. They start to ramp up their throwing regimen, their workout program, and they feel something. They tweak something. Last year was Cole. And a couple weeks into actual games, right, Aaron Judge was spring beat up. Remember that? Somebody else is going to be spring beat up. So that is why I am certain the Yankees aren't done. Maybe it's Nolan Arenado. Maybe it's JD Martinez. Maybe they make another trade. Brian Cashman, your move. It is on you. Brian Cashman, I know that you are not going to go into this season after your team was disrespected, after you said yourself you knew that the defense wasn't good enough, and then that's how they got exposed, right? You lose Juan Soto in this lineup. I know you are not about to let this fan base come into Yankee Stadium on opening day and watch DJ LeMahieu DH and Oswaldo Cabrera play third base and think that that's okay. 888-808-1019. There's going to be another move. And the thing about spring training is other teams will have needs. We are here where all we hear about is New York and New York, right? Frankie Montas goes down. We hear today that there's mutual interest between Jose Quintana and the Mets. Okay, maybe. But we also just heard about spending money, the luxury tax, the Cohen tax, trying to be under it. They're obviously over it, not having money to spend. I think it's a long shot for a guy like Jose Quintana, Jose Iglesias to come back. They have internal options. They have guys like Tyler McGill, Griffin Canning, Paul Blackburn, who are starting pitchers that they can roll with. But circumstances change when you get back to competing. So that's where we are, folks. Let's start right there. We'll talk Knicks. We'll talk NFL. We'll talk NFL salary cap. We'll talk Aaron Rodgers, some interesting Aaron Rodgers things. Aaron Rodgers really is the song that doesn't end because he's done with the Jets. But now Jets fans are going to keep a close eye on the rumors and the things that he does. And he is a master manipulator. His Jedi mind tricks don't work on me. But, I mean, he's popping up places and the media machine is working in his favor. Where's he going to go? We'll talk about it. And, yeah, there's, you know, plenty to do in this quick show, but I want to hear from you. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. Okay, quickly here. KM to, I don't know, 10 p.m., something like that. 888-808-1019. Basically where I'm at is like, yo, I can't believe that the Yankees are going to be content. They have no reason to be content. I had a clip that our great social team put out today where I basically talked about, okay, the reason stopping you are over here, what, you know, the luxury tax, spending too much money, they actually have decreased their payroll a lot. When you think about Juan Soto, Gleyber Torres, Rizzo, Verdugo, Clay Holmes, like, you know, Nestor Cortez, Trevino, some of the departures, I got to get the numbers on it. I did see a graphic where, you know, the Yankees, this better team is less than the team that they had last year. And I have no choice but to believe in Cashman and believe that Cashman has a little bit of an axe to grind, a chip on his shoulder, and just pay attention, right? Stroman getting this first nod, this first look, yeah, maybe it's a showcase. Maybe it's to put him out there and entice anyone that they might be talking to say, hey, here's Stro. He's healthy. He's in shape. He's ready to go. I know you didn't see him in the postseason or the end of last year, but hey, what can we do? We're looking to add a bat. We're looking to add, a third baseman. And it's not even just the holes that you're thinking of, right? More things keep popping up. Like, Trent Grisham has a hamstring. All right, minor thing, but, like, how many outfielders do the Yankees have? Everson Pereira, I saw something about. I'm like, yo, is everybody banged up? All we hear about in the winter is how these guys report early and all that stuff. You know, Everson Pereira will be limited to a DH role until mid-March as he continues to recover from his surgery. So I'm like, okay, who do you all have? Like, who can we actually rely on? And then once they start to go full tilt, somebody's going to get hurt. So I have no choice but to believe that there's going to be another move here. And I feel fine about it. 888-808-1019. And I think the Mets actually, as far as position players go, their lineup goes, they're in great shape until somebody gets hurt. Now, Frankie Montas getting hurt is another guy that I look at like, he's injury prone. They knew about it. They're not surprised about it. You just heard David Stern say he feels really good about their depth. And I would bet that he knew about Frankie Montas when he said that a week or so ago. And they're going to see what they got, right? They're going to see what they have. Someone in my chat puts up, the payroll went from 310 to 239 this year. I got to confirm that. I don't know if it's that much of a difference, but I did see a graphic that, you know, the Yankees with their moves, like, and that is Cashman's specialty. That's what Cashman wants to do. He wants to wheel and deal. He wants to, you know, sell you a Caleb Durbin, Nestor Cortez, Trevino, and, you know, get these other guys out of here. Gleyber Torres, enjoy your beard, not bringing you back. You know what I'm saying? So, I feel good that the Yankees aren't done yet. I feel like, you know, even a couple years ago when we were like, oh, Kyle Higashioka's the only catcher. Who is Ben Rortvedt? He doesn't exist. They make a trade for Jose Trevino. This is the time. This is not the last time. This is, you know, a good time to improve your team. And shout out to Big Mac. I'll give him credit because I don't take anybody's stuff.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And, you know, not give credit where credit is due. Listening to his show, he put me on to a just different perspective of the trade deadline. Because there's a lot of times where I'll say, oh, they'll get it done by the trade deadline. Oh, they have until August to you know, improve third base or add another hitter or whatever. No. In this new postseason format, it has changed the deadline. More teams think that they're in, so more teams are buyers. And it also changes the amount of teams that are willing to sell because they think that they're in. And then also, instead of getting a guy half for half the year, right, get a guy now so you can get the full use out of him, right? Get a guy now before he has some more wear and tear on him. He's coming into the year fresh. 888-808-1019. I didn't take a call because I knew we had to break here and go to the update. When we come back, we'll go straight to the phone. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. BRB. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Nighttime. Taking your calls at least till 10. Then Rutgers basketball will come your way. At some point, we will talk Knicks. We will talk NFL. We'll have eyes on St. John's at 9 p.m. But we started off talking about what else? The New York Yankees and how I've just kind of come around to, okay, it's been a week since pitchers and catchers reported and position players have reported. And you get that initial look at the team and I'm like, oh, they're not done. And they don't have to be done. This is not the deadline. This is not the last time you can improve your team. And we're starting to hear all these little bumps and bruises and tweaks. And I, you know, look at Cashman and I say, bro, if you just got mocked by the whole sport, if you just got talked down on by the Dodgers and their scouting report, if you have these aging superstars and this closing window and this fan base who is still healing from losing Juan Soto and losing that World Series, the only one that they've gotten to see in the last 15 years, you can't be done. You're not done. You're not done. We won't allow it. We won't accept it. So I look forward to the breaking news of whoever the Yankees trade for or, you know, whoever they potentially sign and bring in late here. There's still a couple guys left out there, and I just know that they cannot roll into this season relying on DJ LeMahieu, on Oswaldo Cabrera, Peraza. Or, I mean, they can't. They can't. There's too many guys banged up right now. I have no idea how they would actually, you know, go into the season because, God forbid, one of, you know, these starters go down, which I don't even want to put anyone's name out there because we can't afford it. We have one injury during spring training games, and this whole thing looks different. On top of that, you are literally relying on so many variables. You are literally relying on so many question marks. Older guys to turn back the clock and younger guys to turn up their play and arrive as everyday major league ball players. It's too much unknown. You need some more solid of a foundation here, and I expect that to happen soon. 888-808-1019. Eric is in Rivervale, New Jersey, first up on the Fan.
Keith, how we doing, my friend?
Good, man. Thanks for calling.
Great show. Great show as always, man. Love the stuff, and love that you started with a little baseball here and you know, anything to get away from the Aaron Rodgers discussion as a Jets fan here. But, you know, I absolutely agree with everything you said in your open. And if Cashman is going to try and sell us that DJ LeMahieu is the DH for a Yankees team that is trying to get back to the World Series, I'm going to be
stunned. They'll boo him on opening day. They'll announce DJ LeMahieu and there will be boos on opening day for a national audience. It's not happening.
No chance that happens. And I mean, I agree too, as far as the Dodgers, I mean, as much as I dislike, you know, the Red Sox, and I've hated them my whole life, they're nowhere close to where I feel about the Dodgers right now. I mean, the rivalry to me is with the Dodgers. I can't stand the Dodgers. They've seemed to, you know, and it's twofold. One, because they have the money, and two, because they seem, you know, to have the cheat code and figured out how to work the system with all the deferrals. So, you know, that team was going to get better with just players getting healthy before they made all the moves they've done in the offseason. So that team is going to be a beast for some time. And the Yankees and Cashman got to do something. I mean, DJ LeMahieu and Oswald Cabrera combined for, I think it was the third worst OPS at the position last year. I mean, DJ LeMahieu's WAR was in the negative, which what I didn't even think was possible. So, and the guy hasn't batted over 250 in like 5 years. So I just don't understand why that would even be in consideration. Like, I get it, DJ LeMahieu. Yeah.
$15 million.
Like, emotionally,
that's the only
we love
reason.
The guy.
$15 million is the only reason.
And they like him, right? It's similar to the Mattingly thing, right? Like, we have a place in our heart for him because he's DJ LeMahieu.
Hell no, it's not similar to Don Mattingly. I understand where you're going, but it's not even close to that.
No, I understand. The point being is that, you know, you're watching an aging player and hoping that, you know, some hope is going to come and he's going to return to the guy he was 5 years ago, which is just not going to happen. But it'd be interesting to see, I think, with Arenado, considering how close he is with DJ LeMahieu, they pick up Arenado, which to me is where all my money's going. I can almost guarantee that he's going to be our third baseman at some point. I just hope he does it now, but, you know, sooner than later, because I agree. No reason to wait for the trade deadline.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Eric. And I just laugh because, like, you know, I always say I wasn't old enough to remember one Don Mattingly at bat, but I've watched plenty of clips, and what I always marvel at, and it's funny because it plays into all the conversations we're having now. I'm like, damn, he played so many games. Who was in Yankee Stadium? Where are all the fans? People like, there were no fans. You could go to Yankee Stadium, do what you want, sit where you want. That back then, there were no fans. I don't know about that. But, you know, obviously he never won anything, and DJ never won anything. But Donnie is a different type of commodity in the Yankee universe than DJ. DJ had like 2 good years. And it's already been a race by the last like 3 years. We don't want to see it. Like, this is a team that got to the World Series last year. I don't want to hear it. Fans don't want to hear it. Fans are pissed off. And you mentioned the Dodgers. Like, I used to kind of like the Dodgers. Obviously the Brooklyn Dodgers. I like their history. I go out there to LA. I like their ballpark, the theme park of ballparks. When you walk up to Dodger Stadium, they got people with headsets like it's Disneyland, and you know, you go in there and they revamped the whole back of Dodger Stadium. I was there for the All-Star game. I used to really like Dodger Stadium and the Dodgers and not really think of them as anything. And now after this World Series, I can't stand the look at the Dodgers. Now after seeing them pop up with all the news alerts this offseason, they signed another player and another player and another player and another player, and they defer this much money, and they're deferring money on Tommy Edman's contract. I'm just like, damn, they're not going away for a while. So in this window where Judge is 33 and Cole is 34 and Stanton is 35 and this is your time to win, they are standing in the way, but there's a chance that they get knocked out. I'm looking at the Red Sox still. I'm looking at the Orioles still. I'm looking at, I don't know, the Twins or the, you know, I get it. I know the Twins, Guardians, Royals are non-factors because they're in the Central. But who knows what the Astros look like? They always figure something out. And word on the street is, you know, the Rangers are going to be back to what they were a couple years ago. It is not a guarantee that the Yankees just cakewalk this. Like, I really hope we can lose the phrase cakewalk for the Yankees. It is a new season. This is a different team. They have to gel and come together. And right now, yeah, the roster overall is good. The bullpen looks strong. The rotation looks pretty strong. Clark will be fine. But I'm looking at this lineup, and I'm like, this isn't good enough. This isn't strong enough. One injury to one of these hitters in the lineup, and it's panic time. Jeff is in West Babylon on the Fan next. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Keith. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks.
I agree with you. I don't think it's his last move, but I don't want Arenado, Keith. I'm tired of these old former MVPs, and we're trying to catch lightning in a bottle. You know, we're old at first base. We're old at, going to be old at third base. We're old in DH. We're old everywhere. I mean, the Dodgers got younger. The Mets are getting younger. I want somebody young. That's all I'm going to say about that. Yeah, but anyway, Keith, I have a question. Go ahead.
Just to respond to that, we keep saying Arenado is old. I think Arenado is 32, and he's not like Josh Donaldson. He just turned 33. He's not like a Josh Donaldson, but I hear you with, you know, bringing in Paul Goldschmidt at 37, a former MVP, and I just think, like, if they do get an Arenado, he's better than what we have. I think he's like a 270 hitter right now. Like, if we put him in this lineup, like, that changes this lineup, the bottom part of the lineup. Like, he would absolutely help. And I don't care about the contract at all. It's time to go for it. You will literally make so much money winning the World Series. That's why the Dodgers don't care, because they're selling all this extra World Series merch, having parades, selling more season tickets. Like, it's part of the biz.
I get it. Quick question, Keith. Quick question. Remember in 2023 when Yankees was doing the rest roulette, every day they had somebody resting and there was so much inconsistency in the lineup? And then when Soto came in 2024, Soto was like, you know, he was young and he was like, listen, I'm playing every day. I don't care about sitting. I want to play every day. So now they pushed Judge to play every day. Everybody started to play every day and we had more consistency in the lineup. And that's why I think we got so far, because everybody wanted to play. So now that Soto is gone, do you think that they're going to go back to sitting, you know, because, you know, we got older with the, you think they're going to go back to sitting somebody every day and go back to the inconsistency in the lineup? Anyway.
No.
Thank you for the call.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. No, I think that was more a product of just having a bunch of journeymen, random guys that played a bunch of different positions. Like, they're putting Jake Bowers at first base, right field. They're putting Billy McKinney a bunch of places. They're putting IKF in multiple spots, right? They're putting Cabrera in multiple spots that year. Like, Ben Rortvedt was getting at bats. Was Aaron Hicks still on the team in 23 in the beginning of the year? I'm trying to think who else was here. It was just like, it was a lot of bums. And, you know, like that was just a product of, you know, matchups and figuring out different things. Like, last year you had it set, like, Juan Soto and Judge have to play every day. Juan Soto and Judge have to bat in the first inning. This is different. You know, I'm going back and looking at that roster. Like, yeah, Aaron Hicks was on that team. Estevan Florial, Franchi Cordero. Bro, remember watching Franchi Cordero? He ran into a couple of them. IKF, Jake Bowers, Oswald Peraza, Jose Trevino, Willie Calhoun. Remember Willie Can Bang? Hey, yo, that's crazy. Anyway, they're a long way from that. When you get Juan Soto and Judge, that is Bash Brothers. That is, you know, Ruth and Gehrig. That is, you know, the tandem where it's like, yeah, those guys play every single day and they're in the same spot every day and you don't have to change the lineup as much. Do I expect them to go back to that this year? No. And that's another reason why I think they need to make another move. Because if you're going to be doing that, if we don't know how long it's going to take for Stanton's tennis elbow to get right. And at third base, I guess, you know, with this competition between DJ Cabrera and Peraza, one of them could outright win it. But then are they going to rotate the DH spot? It's just weak sauce right now, bro. And I don't want to hear anything about Dom Smith. Like, this is the New York Yankees. This is a team that made it to the World Series last year. And it ain't that many days. It was 4 months ago. They need to run it right back up. And yes, I like the philosophy change to tighten up the screws on this thing and focus more on defense, run prevention, and, you know, swing and miss and striking guys out. But at the same time, it's baseball, bro. And the Yankees, they always get to the end of the road and they don't have enough bats. They always get to the postseason and the bats go quiet. I need another guy that can hit. Lou is in the story on the Fan next. What's up, Lou?
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Everything is okay? The cat, the family, the wife?
Yeah, the cat is getting, like, super pushy. And I was telling my wife, like, I love the cat, but now she, like, thinks she owns me and, like I work for her.
Man.
She's
just
manipulative.
All love you give a cat.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I had one a long time ago. I had to get rid of it because the same thing as that. And then,
well, I'm not going to get rid of her, but I just find her manner now is, like, so pushy. She, like, if I'm on the couch with my phone in my hand, she'll knock the phone out of my hand to lay on me. When I get up and start moving in the morning, she's meowing at me to get her treats. I'm like, bro, I don't work for you. Like, give me a break.
Yeah, believe me, they're very passionate. I can tell you that right now. But anyway, going to the Yankees, I heard that the best player in baseball wants to go play for the WBC now.
Yeah, Judge is interested. 2026.
All of a sudden, eh? Now, I gotta basically take with you. I know that I'm going to mention the two best players that you like the most, and I think one of them, as you say, is the greatest player that you ever seen play. And George, I understand during the regular season.
Yeah, I said it's hard for me to call him that, Lou. After another failed postseason, it's hard to say that Judge is the greatest player I've ever seen.
You and Sal said it. I mean, I don't know if you changed your mind, but anyway.
We've been forced to. In the regular season, he was having one of the greatest right-handed hitting regular seasons we've ever seen, and then he was swinging out of his shoes, striking out in the postseason. So you can't. There's no argument to say he's one of the best ever. Like
strike out 8 times in a row. To me, it's not. I mean, you got to make contact once in a while. But anyway. Let me say something about this. Juan Soto and George, the communication and all this. The problem here is that, he said that he went to the Mets because they got a better chance of getting championship. The problem here is that Soto wanted the most money, and George is not very happy right now because he not only did he get half the money that Soto got, but he didn't even get a suite, okay? That has to be in his mind. This guy, Soto was giving actually $800 million when you calculate everything. Lost the suite, okay? And now let me ask you something. Another player you love a lot. Remember when Derek Jeter became a free agent? You remember that time?
Yeah.
Cashman told him, here's $7 million. Go out there. Whoever matches that will give you more. We matched that. And nobody did. Let me ask you something.
Yeah, we almost got Hanley Ramirez.
Because I think it's about the money, like I've been telling you all along. If Derek Jeter, the Boston Red Sox, would have said, here's the $20 million that you've been asking for, you think he would not think about that after the animosity, after how much you hated the GM? Give me an answer on that.
Yeah, it's something to think about. I think Cashman's got beef with a lot of different players. Like,
you think the same thing with George? You know what I'm saying?
No, I know. I know. I've cited Bernie.
Two more. Bregman and Tucker is the type of hitter that we need that make contact. You know, strike out 100 times a year like everybody else, swing and miss. And that's the move that he would have made. If we would have had the owner here, our former owner, he would do the same thing the Dodgers are doing because the Dodgers not doing anything illegal. He would not let anybody be ahead of him. You take care, brother.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds good. Like, I know you guys love to say what George would have done. May he rest, you know. But at the same time, it's a different game now. At the same time, there are different players in this game now. It's completely different than it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And yeah, going back to what I said, I understand Cashman though. Like, I understand what he does. He tries to remove emotion. He tries to look at these players as assets and not overspend for guys, but you kinda gotta overspend to land guys, and he might ruffle some feathers with guys like Jeter, and you know, there's even former players that he's kinda rubbed the wrong way that, you know, don't wanna go to, you know, Yankee camp. Shout out to Didi Gregorius. Didi Gregorius showed up today at Yankee camp. He's got his camera. He grew his locks out. They should, you know, check with him and see what his availability is. He's not that old. Maybe he can play third base. Maybe he can be another left-handed bat now that we have left-handed bats. Remember when Cashman didn't have enough left-handed bats for the Yankees? 888-808-1019. You said something interesting, man, about Judge. A few things. Obviously, his interest in playing in the World Baseball Classic. Probably, you know, Trout probably going to be out. I saw Deisha. Shout out to Deisha. She said Aaron Judge said he's open to playing in the 2026 WBC. If he does, this would be his first time. Judge said, I think that'd be pretty fun. It'd be cool to represent our country. Team USA made it to the finals, but they didn't win it. So we got to win it. We'll see. I kind of worry about Judge in that setting. One, because it's before the season. He'll be, another year older next year. He'll be 34. Can't afford to lose Judge to a tweak being spring beat up in the WBC. And then I also worry about him because that is postseason-like intensity. And as I just said, he's the best player I've ever been able to watch. I have seen I don't know how many home runs hit out of Yankee Stadium live where Judge is batting and you feel it's about to happen and he does it. But you can't say that he's the greatest of all time. You can't say he's the best baseball player you've ever seen when you've seen him fail time after time after time after time after time in October. 888-808-1019. I said, you know, and congrats to him on the birth of his first child. I said, failing at the highest level, which is the World Series, there is no Galaxy Series. There is no Universe Series. He failed in front of the world. you know, failing and dropping that pop up and having that experience and then being mocked by the Dodgers and then watching Soto, who you had the whole crown shirt handshake every time you guys did something cool together, thought that that was your boy, for that guy to change his number on you, skip town, for the Yankees to offer him almost double what they offered you, right? It was a lot harder for you to get that money off the Yankees. The Yankees were willing to give him way more years, way more money, higher AAV than you by a lot, and he's not a better right fielder than you. It kind of makes you feel some type of way. I hope Judge takes it out on the world and saves his best for last in October. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. The Mets plans are a little lost, too. Let's talk a little Mets, sprinkle a little LFGM in here. Frankie Montas, the LFGM is, the F is for Frankie. I don't think that makes sense. Frankie Montas spoke, though. He wants to have a better second impression. He's optimistic that he can, and he's frustrated about his first impression with the Mets, especially after coming out there saying that, you know, any day we could be throwing five aces, and womp, 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 he shut down. He said, I don't think anybody wants to start with a first impression like that. It's one of those things that's out of my control. I don't know about that, Frankie. Anyway, I prepared myself to pitch this winter. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And just try to go through this process and get stronger, get better. And he said, I don't want to even think about that as far as the PRP shot, like what, you know, if that's going to do its job. I'm already feeling better. A lot of the inflammation is gone. So we are definitely moving in the right direction. And yeah, he says, you know, the lat is definitely separate. I'm really happy with where my shoulder is. It's really good. Just got to try to stay positive, try to go through the rehab process. I still have months to pitch. So just try to help the team. It's definitely frustrating because I was feeling really good over the winter. And I think you can see Frankie Montas after the All-Star break. But maybe if you can't get Jose Iglesias back, you can go and get Jose Quintana. Oh, my glob. So Jose Quintana could be heading towards a reunion. And what I've said about the Mets, same thing talking about the Yankees, the season was 4 months ago. It was not that long ago. What I love about baseball is the offseason is short. The season is so long, you snap your fingers, and we're right back to spring training, and a lot of the vibes can kind of come back together. As I see Joel Sherman reported, Clay Holmes will start the Mets spring opener on Saturday. I'll be tuned in. I'll be watching Prey Holmes. Now he's not Prey Holmes. Now you don't have to worry as much when he's starting the game.
I don't know,
you never
bro.
Know, yeah.
I don't know.
Gives up a couple bombs in the first inning.
Yeah, you know what I mean? He comes out there and he does his thing in the first inning. I don't know. You set us beyond the eight ball, but I did see that, and I saw Carlos Mendoza say that they're projecting him to throw somewhere around 40 to 45 pitches, which I guess is good.
He doesn't do that.
I don't know.
He doesn't do that. He hasn't done that in a while. It's going to be great. I think that's another like great story. That's like a low-key dynamic between Mets and Yankee fans, all the back and forth. Like, we are not talking about what Clay is going to be. Yankee fans are going to be rooting for y'all to get the worst Clay Holmes experience.
I mean, like, this is the thing that ticks me off, to be completely honest with you, is the fact that the Mets really need another starter, and they need another reliever. And it's like, why not just go and bring in another guy who can be a fourth option in your rotation? You know what I mean? Like, Griffin Canning, all these guys, they're nice to have around McGill, but they're fifth, sixth, you know, minor league starters at best. Get another guy who is a legit major leaguer, and then you have your solution in the rotation, and guess what? You can move a guy who has been an all-star multiple times as a closer into the bullpen to work in a middle relief situation. Like, I mean, I don't understand how this isn't going on right now in Mets camp. I don't know how they're trying to prevent the inevitable with Clay Holmes. I feel like it is inevitable, too. Like, he's not going to be able to make it however many, 30, 25, 20 starts this year. I don't think he's going to be able to do it and be able to give you quality production. Like, I don't think, you know what, he might be able to go out there and be an opener, a glorified opener, and give you four innings.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get that. I need a guy who can actually give me six. And when it comes to the playoffs, I know, listen, the Dodgers did it with makeshift and whatever they did.
Bullpen
the Dodgers
games.
Also have 10 all-stars in their bullpen. You're not doing anything like
tough
that.
Now too. I don't know, and I look at it like this as well. With Frankie Montas going down, they almost have to try and bring Jose Quintana back. Again, I say it's another piece from the magical run that you had to the NLCS last year, getting the band back together. It doesn't hurt to bring another guy back. That was part of the vibes. And with Kodai Senga needing extra rest and Kodai Senga not pitching at all last year, like it, it's worrisome. Holmes, you don't know. He's going to be relegated to the bullpen, I feel like, at some point sooner rather than later. Kodai Senga could be one pitch away from being hurt. Then, like, he needs the extra day of rest. That's why they suggested the six-man rotation. You can't do that now with Montas down. Griffin Canning might be batting practice.
Legitimately.
Paul Blackburn, all right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Paul Blackburn's the type of dude where he's going to go out there, he'll give you a 4 ERA, he'll win 10 games if you let him pitch 30, and he'll be okay. And that's what Paul Blackburn is. You know what I mean? Like, that's it.
But you know what? It is imperative for the Mets to get out to a hot start this year.
Without a doubt.
They cannot have a repeat of last year because, like, you have the owner challenging fans to come out. So what if the fans do come out, right? There are going to be fans in there that if they're coming out, they're spending their money. It's cold. They're freezing their ass off. It's windy. It's raining. Like, and they're not performing. The vibe, right, as Steve Cohen thinks, it's a blast. The ballpark presentation and all this stuff. Yeah, it's not a blast if you lose and the fans start to turn because they're like, hey, you challenged us to come out. We spent $200 on these tickets and the team's not performing because – you know, we're down 3-0 in the second inning with Clay Holmes on the mound or Tyler McGill on the mound. You know what I'm saying?
Like, or we're already going to Griffin Canning in week 2 of April. You know what I mean? Where it's like, oh my God, like we all saw this coming. How did we set ourselves up for this? If you get to that point, that's when the fans will start being pissed and they'll be like last year. But it's not, I don't think it's going to get to that point because I really do think that's the Montas injury. It in particular is going to force them to have to do something. Whereas before, I don't think they were going to. I think they were going to just roll it out there and see what happens. But at least now, with Montas being hurt, you know what? If Clay Holmes goes out there and starts 5-6 games to start the year to just get you through May and get Montas back in that rotation so you can have that option of going to six man and whatnot, fine. But Clay Holmes can't be a starter all year. And now they'll finally have the option to, like you said, get a guy like Quintana who is reliable. And when you put him out there, you will eventually get to a point where you say, okay, this guy has to stay in this rotation for the rest of the season. Because that's the type of pitcher he is. He is Mr. Consistent. I know he had a tough little run of it early last year, but he is Mr. Consistent throughout his career.
When he started to figure it out, he figured it out and he was good. He's a veteran, 13 years in the league. I read that the Rangers and Padres are also interested in him. So I don't see why they get that done. Also, sometimes the pitching can be, the pitching can be ahead of the hitting. This is New York. Talking about it being cold here, it's hard to go out there and swing that bat and be warmed up and be loose. Not to throw Lindor under the bus because he had a great year last year, but historically he has started slow. If he starts slow and then, God forbid, Soto has a tough time, I don't think Soto's going to have a tough time. I'm not going to say that. Soto is automatic all the time. But, like, what about Pete? What if Pete is struggling early? What if Vientos doesn't have it right away? This will be Vientos' first opening day with the big club. Like, there are variables in Queens as well, where it's like, hey, if this doesn't come out of the gate on fire, we'll be here on the fan talking about it. 888-808-1019. I got to take another call. Michael in Stony Brook, you got it. You're on.
What's up, sir? How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Switch gears a little bit on the Yankees. You know, I think there's a better chance than not that Stanton doesn't make any contribution this year. I mean, as you said earlier, the season's been over 4 months, and now he's got two bad elbows. So, Yankees knowing this, how did they not sign Bregman? It would have been perfect.
Yeah, they were never going to give Bregman that money. They don't like him. They don't like how he projects in Yankee Stadium. And they weren't going to spend that $40 million that it took for the Red Sox to get him in year one. And the Red Sox deferred some money and the Yankees weren't going to do it. I know they checked on him, right? Reportedly they checked on him, but I don't think it was realistic. Their main pivot after Soto was Max Fried. And I just don't think they looked at Bregman as a fit and being worth it for what, you know, what he is. He's a pull hitter. He had the Crawford boxes. He goes from the Crawford boxes to the Green Monster. Left field in Yankee Stadium is pretty deep. And, you know, him being part of the cheating Astros, it's like, yeah, people are over it, but they don't forget, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, you made a great point because you think about, I mean, how much has Cashman said over the years?
Oh, Cashman.
It was stolen, right?
Cashman won't let anybody forget. He makes sure to correct everybody when they say, ah, well, you had a 14-year drought. He said, well, we don't know what would have happened in 2017.
Right. Yeah, you made a very good point. I didn't think about that aspect of it.
Yeah, but I mean, take that away. Sure, Bregman's glove, Bregman's bat, and then especially what you're hearing about the drama in Boston. Thanks for the call, Michael. Devers, what would you do, Rafael, if they say you got a DH or play first base? No. My position is third base. I play third base. Tristan Casas coming out. Yeah, I think Devers should be our third baseman. Yeah, I know he boots routine ground balls, but I think he's getting better. He's not, no matter how much better he gets, he's not going to be better at third base than Bregman. I love it. The Red Sox are clowned out right now with what they got going on. I didn't catch what Bregman had to say. He met the media, but I think Bregman is just chilling. He's got the money. He's got a new team. He's one of the last to leave the cheating Astros. And he's reunited with Alex Cora, and he's cool if they want him to play second. He's cool if they want him to DH. He's like, whatever, I'm making $40 million. I'm making Judge money this year. Talk to me. Boris won. Low-key, Boris was able to finesse $30 million for Alonso this year, $40 million for Bregman this year. Doesn't make any sense. But, yo, Lou and Astoria also mentioned Bregman. He was never going to be a Yankee for so many factors. Also, Kyle Tucker, Lou mentioned, and I wanted to respond to that. He also wasn't going to be a Yankee. The Astros were not going to trade Kyle Tucker to the Yankees. Not for Luis Gil, not for anything. They would not give you one of their best players an all-star. There's beef there, and it goes back to the same thing with Bregman. Crane and Dana Brown. Hubie Brown is, I hate that I have sports brain like that. Hubie Brown is the announcer. Dana Brown is the GM of the Astros. I've done that so many times. I remember I mixed up like Cam Payne and Deron Payne. Somebody else. When you watch all the sports and you have all these names in your head, it's so easy to be like, yeah. Hubie Brown would have never traded Kyle Tucker to the Yankees.
Hubie Brown would have probably traded Kyle Tucker for nothing.
Hubie Brown would have said, whatever you want. Sure.
Sure.
He would have traded him for a full season ticket plan in Legends. 888-808-1019. Kyle Tucker was not going to be a Yankee either. They just weren't going to do that. He's in Chicago, and Chicago already took him to arbitration, so he'll be one and done there. Maybe the Yankees can win him in free agency. When we come back, we'll talk about another free agent that'll be in the same class with Kyle Tucker. Steve Phillips from MLB Network Radio spoke about this today, and I just was like, Devers. I was like, no. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back. Time already flying by. It'll be 8 o'clock soon. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I wanted to play a little audio clip from Steve Phillips on MLB Network Radio. Shout out to Steve Phillips. I haven't met him, but he works with my guy Xavier Scruggs. And X is my guy. Appreciate X. And this came across my timeline earlier today. I think some of Yankees Twitter reacted to it. So, Zoo, let's play it, and then we'll go from there.
He's going to be a Yankee. I think he's going to be a Yankee.
Talking about Vladdy.
I think that Goldschmidt will be out after the year. Alonso won't opt out, and Vladdy's going to be a Yankee. And they're going to give him, short of Soto money. And in the end, they'll have Vladdy and Judge in the middle of the lineup instead of Soto and Judge. And they'll end up having spent less money, and they'll end up being a great team moving forward. And they'll be the best in the American League for years. And so I think Vladdy's a Yankee moving forward.
Woo! Yeah, Steve. Talk that talk, Steve. I don't see it. I just can't really buy into the Vladdy talk. You know, for years, Vladdy has gone out of his way to talk down on the Yankees. He's gone out of his way to mention the Yankees in a negative light. I think he said he wouldn't sign with the Yankees. He loves to kill the Yankees. What team do you know, love to beat? The Yankees, the Yankees, the Yankees, which is just like a one-sided beef. And now, with him not extending in Toronto, and obviously Steve Cohen existing, who spoke on him yesterday, it's just obvious that we're going to get to the point where Vladdy hits free agency and the Mets are bidding on him. And I don't even think the Yankees are going to try and do that dance again. They're not going to compete with Steve Cohen for Vladdy, a player who said he didn't want to be here. I think their eyes will probably be set on Munetaka Murakami if he doesn't just automatically join his World Baseball Classic teammates in Japan. But now that Steve Cohen is giving out luxury suites, premium tickets, clothing allowances, security details, and you know all of these things on top of $805 million contracts, why wouldn't every possible free agent try and hit free agency just to get a conversation with Steve Cohen? 888-808-1019. Jim Bowden wrote, the Juan Soto deal changed everything in the Vladimir Guerrero negotiations and practically gave them no chance of getting a deal before he reaches free agency. As he heads to free agency, the Yankees, Red Sox, and Mets could all be in play with the Blue Jays for the game's next biggest free agent bidding battle. Like, with Juan Soto, everybody knew that, you know, the Toronto Blue Jays were willing to offer Juan Soto $700 million. And there was also reports that if they got another chance to bid, that maybe they would have, you know, tried to match Steve Cohen's bid. So Vladdy knowing that, and Vladdy being friends with Juan, there was a report that I read today that Vladdy even came down on his numbers, and they would not budge. So I think he's good as gone. He'll hit free agency. I don't expect him to be a Yankee. It'll be him and Kyle Tucker at the, you know, top of the free agent market next year, and maybe the Yankees go after Kyle Tucker. Joe is in Hohokus, if I'm saying that correctly, Joe. You're back on the Fan.
Yeah, Keith, what's up? Great intro as per usual. I just want to say you showed a lot of class, and I want to use the word class because of that loser yesterday. I'm surprised you gave him a second chance. But anyway, talking about, you always talk about branding with the Yankees, and I agree. The Mets, I'm a Mets fan. The Mets fan will always be little brother until further notice. And the Yankees have, I wonder if the Yankees have cared so much about the brand if they've lost their way, where they just care about selling seats at this point, bro. Because you clearly have a hole at third base, and you called it. At some point, they were going to need Stroman. Now you got these pitchers hurt with, you know, Clark Schmidt and Chase Hampton. You need Stroman now. You definitely need to do the pitch innings, you know? And you still need that third base. And the quotes from Cashman were, well, we need to clear 18 mil. We need to clear 18 mil. Okay, what now? Is it just about the brand, or are you trying to win? So, you know, trying to tie in together where I know you don't like the Mets and Yankee comparisons. I feel like if it was my owner, Steve Cohen, he'd go get that final piece, bro. I think, you know, that's why it's a good time to be a Mets fan. And if I could comment on the Vladimir Guerrero instance, there's a lot of rumors where, kind of like Griffey, where I don't think Vladimir is going to be a Yankee just because it's similar to Griffey. Griffey always said he'll never play for the Yankees because he was upset about his dad. I think there was rumors around in 2003, I forget what year, that Vladimir was interested in signing with the Angel, with the Yankees, but the Yankees actually signed Gary Sheffield. So he always said it was a family thing. So it's kind of similar with Griffey, where he always said it was a family thing, that he'll never play for the Yankees. I think Vlad will flirt with the Yankees just to bring the price up, but bro, I don't think he's signing with the Yankees. I know you said that.
Yeah, I think it's always going to be Yankees for clicks. I think Steve Phillips' take was a Yankees for clicks take in itself today, right, saying that he's going to be a Yankee. Right.
Exactly.
But yeah, I do faintly remember, you know, Vladimir Guerrero Sr. and, you know, before he went to the Angels, that whole story. Obviously, we were younger, but I think that story has come up recently. And there was a recent story with Vlad where he says his goal is to win a World Series and give the ring to his dad. So, like, he probably plays the game for his father, who put the bat in his hand, who, you know, brought him on the field and brought him up. I don't know. Right. I think he's more inclined to be a Met. But then going back to what you said about Steve Cohen in the Mets, yes,
and that,
Steve.
Okay, go ahead.
Steve yeah. Cohen is overextending, spending his own money because he does have to do that. The Yankees turn much more of a profit than the Mets do, and they're not going out there and spending that much money. Earlier in the show, I said I had a report that the Yankees lowered their payroll. Spotrac approximated that they've dropped $25 million from 2024 to 2025. They have the Yankees going from $316 million to $291 million. So, like, it's obvious that the Yankees, right. after their highest earning year going to and the I World guess, Series, they're not right. turning around and saying, oh, we got money to blow. Hal Steinbrenner told you we have more financial flexibility than ever as far as going after Juan Soto. Oh. But they miss out on Juan Soto, and they didn't go spending like, okay. you know, go ahead.
I got you. Now, so, Keith, this just leads to my final question. You clearly have a need at third base. The whole thing was we need to clear 18 mil. We need to clear 18 mil. So why, and it's only been a day, fair enough, but why aren't the Yankees trying to get a third baseman now? Like is Cashman still going to tell the fans we need to clear 18 mil? You make the most money in baseball, right? You and the Dodgers are up there. So why aren't they spending more money if you're making the most money? Keith, that's my question to you. Is it just about the brand, you know, or do you care about the winning? Do the owners care about? I know the fans care about the winning, but does the owner still care as much about winning, I guess, is my question to you, Keith.
Yeah, of course they care about winning, but they're going to try and play the game in the parameters of the rules of the game. Thanks for the call, Joe. I just, you know, and I don't know how much Cashman was talking about clearing the $18 million. I don't remember that direct quote coming from his mouth anywhere, but we obviously could connect the dots that, okay, Marcus Stroman is making this much money, and he's a depth piece for you that, you know, might not even see the mound. It's a waste of funds. But then I go back to what I've been saying all week. Asset allocation. The Yankees make moves that stop them from making other moves. Like, that's not on us. Like, figure that out. 888-808-1019. That shouldn't stop you. And I don't know if they go after Nolan Arenado. I don't know if, you know, but like I said today when I opened, oh, this can't be it. This is not it. They're not going to go into opening day. Yeah, okay. Aaron Boone's got a new contract for the next 5 years, and then they go on opening day. At DH, DJ LeMahieu, boo. Like, they can't do that. All right, we got to go to the break and the update. KM on the Fan, I'll be back after this.